I want to begin by reading the scriptures that were already read this evening, but I want to add one verse from Isaiah chapter 9. We'll read, "Have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." Verses 6 and 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to do this." Amen. Way back in 1951, our family was living down in Springfield. And during wintertime that year, I decided that I wanted to make a little bit of money. Emphasis on a little. So with my parents' permission, I took our snow shovel and I went to some of our neighbors' homes and I offered to shovel the snow on their sidewalks and driveways. A couple of places didn't have that much snow, and so for 50 cents, I was able to kind of breeze through the job and smile real big when I put that 50-cent piece in my pocket and made my way to the next shoveling job. And some of you are saying, 50-cent piece? Yes. Yeah, there actually was a 50-cent piece. Some of you have never seen it before. One place that I went, after having spoken with the owner and been approved to do the job, I started shoveling. I wasn't real experienced, and I certainly wasn't experienced enough to realize that if snow starts melting and then freezes again underneath, it can make the shoveling extremely, extremely hard. So for about 30 or 40 minutes, I struggled to get ice and snow removed from their sidewalk, and frankly, it was por gusto, as they say in Spanish. It was to no avail. I got discouraged, and I think I may even have cried. An 11-year-old boy trying to do what a man probably should have been doing. I wanted to just run away without saying anything, leave the work unfinished. But I realized that our neighbors knew where I lived. And so I went up and rang the doorbell again. And with a deep sense of shame, I confessed to the owner that I had really taken on a task that as a kid, I'll be honest with you, I just cannot finish. And I went straight home, feeling so badly on one hand, but actually inside of me, I felt a bit happy that I was no longer responsible to finish that particular very difficult task. Now, at a later time, I did more snow shoveling, but I looked with more care at how difficult the job would be before I made any offers to take on the work. And, of course, that's biblical if you read Proverbs. When you listen to the children singing and you watch the brief video entitled, "He's Here," It really wouldn't be surprising for a skeptic, if there were a skeptic around, who might be watching the film with kind of a half smirk on his or her face, to be thinking, "Hey, come on. What can these little kids know about anything? Big deal. This baby Jesus, he's here. Like, so what? How many thousands of babies are born every day? And everything goes on just like it was before. Just another ho-hum time in life and in history. How many babies in today's world even grow up to amount to anything anyway? But you know what? Even creation knows better than that. In a language that can be understood by all peoples everywhere, regardless of race and religion and culture or creed or geographical location, the heavens continue to what? Declare the glory of God, and the earth and everything that we see in it is a clear demonstration of the incredible power that God has. And the skeptic might again still say, what does that have to do with anything? Listen carefully. God's sovereign power and his supreme authority is enormously important because he's the one who brought that baby Jesus into the world in the first place. And through the angel announced to the shepherds tending the flock, hey guys, check it out. He's here. He's here. Furthermore, the Bible tells us that, and listen carefully, Jesus himself is the image of the invisible God and, wow, take a deep breath, by him, by Jesus, by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth. So for good reason, the heavens and the earth have declared his glory since the beginning of time. And for good reason, that glorious star in the east, which he himself created in eternity past and which led the wise men to the place where he lay, for good reason, that night of Jesus' birth, it shone with such amazing, remarkable, guiding brilliance. That star was declaring the glory of God in Jesus. And you know what? Nothing has been the same since that wonderful night of his birth. In all practicality, we could say that God did send a child to ultimately do a man's work. And it is to the glory of God that men and women all around the world are still coming to faith in this baby who became a man, our Savior, Christ the Lord. As we heard in the prayer request this morning, I had a call about 8:15 from our brother Kevin, and he was telling me that Jovi's sister-in-law had passed away. Kevin and I have been praying. Our small group has been praying for her, and Kevin and Jovi have done everything they could to share Christ and to shine the glorious light of the gospel of Christ to her and to her family. And Kevin and I, as a matter of fact, this afternoon, after our buffet, we were going to be going down to Des Plaines or wherever she was in the hospital, and we were going to pray with her, talk with her, plead with her to come to faith in Christ. God had another plan. He took her yesterday, Saturday, and Kevin was delighted to tell me that from all he could see and all he could understand, on her deathbed, she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. That's we're saying hallelujah about it. Thank God. My sister Sarah called last Sunday evening to excitedly tell Ruth and me that 2 weeks ago, a man whose wife is divorcing him so she could be with another man accepted Christ as his Savior. And 1 week later, that's last Sunday then, two of his teenage children also came to faith in Christ. And that's not all. The wife who wants to divorce him has been coming to church, and she's been listening to the Bible being taught and meeting some neat people who are shining the gospel light brightly before her. And folks, I don't know. I think she's going to come to faith in Christ. But right now, somewhere in this world in which we live, someone is constantly under conviction of their sin and placing their faith in Jesus Christ. That is really powerful at this time of year as we talk about that, because nothing has been the same since this baby Jesus came into the world. I'm really, really impressed, and I'm thrilled when I hear that in Pakistan and in other Muslim-majority countries, massive numbers of Muslims are converting to Christianity through faith in Christ. And they're doing this at the very risk of their lives. And that's why I keep saying, and you hear me say it over and over again this morning, things really have radically changed since Jesus came into the world and since that first announcement, he's here. Okay, no. He's here. He's here. First responders and farmers, journalists and astronauts and store clerks and athletes and scientists and astronomers and, yes, believe it or not, politicians and ecologists and environmentalists and people of all walks of life are being transformed by the gospel, the good news of salvation from sin, the great news of transformed lives through faith in this baby Jesus who became our Savior. And yes, even children are understanding the wonderful news that Jesus came into the world to search for those who were lost and to save, to offer forgiveness and eternal life to all the little sheep, as well as to all of us big sheep who have gone so far away from God and His ways. It is worth repeating that since that first announcement, He's here. Nothing has been and nothing will ever be the same. You know why? Because as Isaiah the prophet said some 900 years before the baby Jesus was born, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Anybody excited about that? They've seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. Wow. That's not really hard to picture and understand if our heart is open. But bottom line, just in case someone has missed it, here's what that scripture is saying. To not acknowledge the coming of baby Jesus into the world to ultimately save the world, to not believe that is to be walking in darkness. It's to be walking in deep darkness, as the Bible says. Sure, you may know something about the Bible. You may be able to sing some songs about Jesus. You may even have a beautiful certificate acknowledging faithful attendance at Sunday school or maybe even at church through the years. But deep in your heart, there's this gnawing realization that you cannot ignore. There's got to be more to it. Why? Because your life is still a stumbling mess as you walk in the deep darkness of a life without Jesus. A life of darkness revolves around anger and fighting and booze and rebellion and disobedience and drugs and pornography and broken relationships, and the list could go on and on. And believe it or not, somehow in our stubbornness and in our arrogance, confident that supposedly we ourselves are able to do what is ultimately right and good, in that kind of delusional state of deep darkness, we refuse to admit our sin. And we reject every opportunity to simply acknowledge our sinfulness and to confess our absolute inability to bring about change in our own life and to get onto the right path. And that's why He's here. Going down to verse 6. Because unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. He came. He's here. That's the fulfillment of what God said would happen. The prophecy about the child, the coming of the Son. We do get it, don't we? It's Jesus. This baby Jesus was born for us, unto us. A child is born. The gift of a child. The gift of a son given for us. What for? To believe in and to receive as a present wrapped in swaddling clothes, but later to become our Savior, dying on the cross for our sins and to take us out of that kingdom of deep darkness and bring us into His kingdom of light. Wow. That's totally different from taking the family on a ride through a neighborhood and simply admiring the crèche scenes and the Christmas lighting and being wowed by the fake snowflakes and the reindeer and the sleds and the shepherds and sheep all standing around a manger scene. Very different. Okay, but some might say, where does all this go with this baby who eventually becomes a man? What is he going to do? What exactly is he all about? Well, the Bible does go on to say that the government will be upon his shoulders. In other words, if you're concerned about where the world is headed right now, and many say, of course, it's headed to hell in a handbasket, If you believe in your heart that God's gift of the baby Jesus, the ultimate Savior of all mankind, if you believe that that gift is for you personally and you humbly accept that gift, He will miraculously transport you into a world of forgiveness and peace. And as you learn more about Him, in your heart you will learn and you will realize that this child, this son, will eventually take over running of the world the way it ought to be run. But for now, He will be happy to take over being the supreme guide and controller in your life so that you will look like Jesus and act like Jesus and not like the ugly, self-centered, selfish, angry, nasty sinner that we all are without Jesus. Check this out. Directly related to His wonderful control over our lives, the Bible says that He will be called some really neat names. For example, He will be called Amazing or Wonderful Counselor. Amazing fits, doesn't it? What's that all about? Well, since there are issues in your life that seem impossible for you to handle because you lack the necessary wisdom, He will be to you an amazing counselor, if you let Him. He might say to you, now here's what I want you to do, my child. I want you to trust in me with all your heart. I want you to not lean on your own understanding. Honestly, my precious child, as He puts His arms around us, you yourself cannot be trusted. I can. Look at your life. See how horrible it is. You have to stay away from certain people who are dragging you down. You have to avoid certain places which present temptations that you already have proved you cannot resist. On and on. He will be called the amazing, amazing counselor. And that's what He will do for you as well. An amazing counselor He will be to you. He will also be called the strong or almighty God. So since each of us is often overwhelmed by bad habits that constantly reveal our innate weakness to battle against anger, porn, alcohol, and other gross sins to which we've become a slave, He will actually be to each one of us the strong God. We will learn to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We will learn that God's grace at work in us can actually train us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and instead to say yes to righteousness, because under His tutelage, under His gracious governing control, we can actually be victorious over sin and carelessness in our life, and we will actually become more than a conqueror. He will be called the strong God. And that's exactly what He will be to you, the strong God. Wonderful name, isn't it? Have you been frustrated? The text goes on to tell us that His name is going to be Eternal or Everlasting Father. So I want you to think about this. Perhaps you've been frustrated and distressed by a constant flow of severed relationships, saddened by broken friendships, disappointed by associations that always seem to lead to failure and disappointment in one way or another. He will be to you the Eternal Father who will not ditch you. He doesn't leave His kids hanging high and out to dry, as the world says. As Eternal, everlasting, loving, and caring Father, He will heal the brokenhearted. He will restore relationships, beginning with your relationship to Him, like a child to his or her father. He will be called the everlasting, eternal Father. You can be very certain of this, that He will be to you the Eternal Father, the kind of Father that you may have longed for all your life. He will also be called the Prince of peace, or the Prince of Wholeness, as one translation says. Have you ever thought to yourself, gosh, I'm worse than a broken piece of pottery. I've messed up my life so badly that it's impossible to repair. I couldn't be more trashed, any more ruined and spiritually bankrupt than I am right now. The darkness of sin and the shame and the humiliation of bad decision-making has entombed me. I am buried alive, smothered, snowed under with guilt, and there is no hope. Ever felt that? Jesus is called the Prince of Wholeness. He says to you and to me, come unto me, all you who are laboring, working so hard, who live under such a heavy yoke of guilt and everything else, I will give you rest. Who would turn that down? You may be one of those scads of people who are weak and fatigued, loaded down with spiritual anxiety, life spiraling out of control, wondering when will it all end? And Jesus says, come to me. I will give you the rest that you so desperately need. He will be called the Prince of Wholeness. And he will be exactly that to you if you're willing to trust him to be your Savior. Well, after hearing all of this, we may ask, so how long will this authority of his last? Whether in the kingdom you're talking about or even in the personal life, in my personal life, as you seem to indicate. Well, Isaiah the prophet does actually go on and address that. He says his ruling authority will grow. Oh, that's an encouraging word. You want that kind of authority to grow and abound. He says his ruling authority will grow. In other words, that goes way, way, way beyond you and me. His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limits to the wholeness, the peace that he brings. Wow. Anybody bored? No way. There will be no limits to the wholeness, to the peace that he brings. I really pray that frees you to say, in your spirit, to say yes to Jesus, and at the same time to say no to Satan, who is so cunning that right now he could easily, very easily, be whispering to someone in this room, come on, man. Don't get taken in by all this religious nonsense. It's all hocus pocus. Phony kind of stuff. Sure, you're bruised a little bit. You're a little bit broken in your life. But hey, we're going to come through this, you and me. We're a team. And to that I would say, please, don't forget that Satan is a liar. He's the father, the generator of all lies. And please remember the angel's announcement to the shepherds. He's here. Jesus can and he will bring lasting and eternal wholeness to your soul beginning right now if you simply believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is Lord. He wants you to be able to confess right now from your heart through your mouth, Jesus Christ is my Savior. Well, Isaiah ends this section by saying, he, Jesus, will rule from the historic throne of David over that promised kingdom. And someone might say, okay, wait a minute. We've been talking in the present tense that Jesus will do all of this for me right now. And yet the scripture says Jesus will rule, future tense, from the historic throne of David over that promised kingdom. That kingdom hasn't come yet. Well, keep on reading as we close this lesson. It says, he will put that kingdom on a firm footing, and he will keep it going with fair dealing and right living. And when does it begin? Beginning now. Or from this time forward and lasting how long? Always. Wait a minute. Who are we dealing with? He tells us the zeal of the God of the angel armies. He's going to do it all. I love it. He's going to do it all. Go tell it on the mountains. Tell it everywhere you go. He's here. For us, this child has been born. For us, this son has been given. Are you ready for a new beginning to life? I hope so. I'll remember that as a child, I couldn't finish the job I set out to do, shoveling snow. It was a task for a man to do, someone much bigger than I. The Bible says that for us a child was born, and that child would, as we have said over and over this morning, that child would grow to be the man, Christ Jesus, who for us became the mediator between God and man. So one last time I say it, he's here. He's here. May he be your mediator. May he be your savior. May he transform you from sinner to redeemed child of God. This could be the best Christmas you have ever, ever had. Just simply pray this prayer in your heart right now. Dear God, I do believe you sent Jesus into the world to save us from our sins. I ask Jesus right now to come into my life, to forgive my sins, and to make me your child, to make me a member of your family. Amen. Now, if you prayed that brief prayer, I'm telling you something. God heard you, and I am incredibly happy for you. Because if you prayed that prayer, I can now, on behalf of the rest of our church family, say, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. And I hope you'll let us know that you prayed that prayer, if you did so, so that we can share your joy and help you as a new Christian in any way that we can. And to that end, we say, God bless you. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Father, for the video presentation. Thank you for our children, for the music that they have shared with us this morning. Thank you for the reminder that Jesus has come. He is here. And may there be no one in this sanctuary who would dare to reject you or to say no to your love to us through this child Jesus, who grew to be our Savior from sin as a man. I pray this humbly in that sweet, beautiful name that is above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen.